The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, NPA downplays effect of fuel shortage in some parts of Accra on economy. Parliament resumes sittings today. NPP asks aggrieved members to use party structures to address grievances. Volta Caucus in Parliament expresses satisfaction with work on Eastern Corridor roads. Dumo family formally informs government of Komla's death. And Egypt's military backs army chief's bid for president. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
The National Petroleum Authority says the fuel shortage in parts of Accra will not have much effect on the economy, if any at all. The public relations officer of the authority, Yairo Kasambata, however, says the situation will be addressed as soon as possible. Parliament is resuming sitting today, having been on recess for the past 6 weeks. The House was, however, recalled for emergency sitting earlier this month at the instance of the Speaker of Parliament, Igodu Ajao. Today's sitting therefore marks the start of the first meeting of the second session of the State Parliament. The chairman of the Volta Regional Caucus in Parliament, Joseph Amenode, says he is happy with progress of work so far on the Eastern Corridor Road. He however says the caucus will liaise with key stakeholders in the road sector to make a definite pronouncement on the work. And the top military body in Egypt has given the nod to the armed forces chief's decision to run for the presidency. According to the Supreme Council of the Forces, the trust in Marshal Abdel Fattah al-Sisi must be regarded as a free choice of the people.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now in detail. The National Petroleum Authority has downplayed the effects of the shortage of fuel in some parts of Accra on the national economy. The authority says the shortage is minimal and will be resolved in the shortest possible time. The public relations officer of the NPA, Yairo Kasambata, told Radio Ghana the situation is not as bad as reported in the media.
Well, it's very minimal in our estimation, because the sampling we have done in all the regions we have visited so far, the situation is not as bad as the initial media reports have portrayed it. So that is how we would describe the magnitude of the situation.
Even though minimal, what might have accounted for it?
We have explained we have a little challenge with distribution. You know, it is understandable that in times like these, the consumer is a bit impatient because the product is needed and they want their product. But it is a system that is being run. You know, it's just like you are filling a bucket of water. It doesn't get filled in a second. It's impossible. Unless you have a huge pipe that you've opened and suddenly you have a very large quantity of drop into the bucket at any particular time. So you are dealing with the whole country as a constituency. And you have, you know, SEMA as the major hub supplying the entire country. So if you have a challenge and that challenge is being resolved, such as we did the last couple of days, you can still expect to have little bit of these ripples in parts of the country. So we have only assured the consumer that we are still in the process of resolving the issue we raised in the last couple of days, and it's ongoing. On a daily basis, we put onto the market more than 80 million liters of fuel. We couldn't work at this weekend because of some, you know, technical difficulties. But we have since resumed Monday morning, and we work full time. We're going to continue tomorrow, and we're going to continue, Wednesday, all throughout the week. By the weekend, we will decide whether it is worth working Saturday or Sunday. I think the supply situation has normalized. We will do our normal Monday to Friday, you know, situation. So this is the monitoring we are doing our products. We are going to market with the products. The depots are all busy with activity, so the consumer should be rest assured.
That was the public relations officer of the NPA, Yaruka Sambata.
The GPRTU says it will take measures to ensure that drivers comply with the new 20% increase in transport fares. The General Secretary, Stephen Okudzeto, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said drivers who charge arbitrary fares will be brought to book. This reaction follows protests and confusion which have characterized the announcement of the new fares on certain routes in Accra. Anita Weskin and Jonah Papley have filed this report.
A visit to the Kwame Nkrumah Circle New Plan Station revealed that some passengers are having issues with the new fares. They believe the 20% increase is not considerate.
Hey, what's happening? Since when? This morning, the maid took 1 CD 40 pesos from me instead of 1 CD 10 pesos. I didn't even know. Now, I don't have enough money on me after classes. How will I get? You see, they used to take 1 CD 10 pesos from Circle to Dansoma. Now, they are taking 1 CD 40 pesos. Why? I'm not working. I'm a student.
So then you are not satisfied with the increase?
How can we be satisfied because petrol has been increased? We can't be.
A driver who spoke to Radio Ghana indicated that drivers are coping with the increase in fares, but the passengers are those rather having problems with the fares.
For the new increase, it makes us tough because this morning we came here around 2-3 o'clock. Nobody is taking our car here.
In reaction to the passengers' complaints and protests, we went to the Greater Accra Regional Office of the GPRTU to find out the take of the officials on the issue.
As a union, if you are a member of GPR, then you should know or understand sanctions mechanism that we have, which is enshrined in our constitution. When anybody who belongs to GPRTU should drop a directive, then the sanctions apply. That is Article 40 of our constitution.
So what happens to drivers who charge above stipulated fares?
If a driver should misbehave or should charge above the approved fares, they are dealt at the local and the branch levels, and they are liberty to petition to the regional secretariat in case they should flout any of the rules. In case the local or the branches should do something contrary to the directives coming from us, they can report them to the regional secretariat. So as the regional secretary of the university, it's my duty to make a passionate appeal to the traveling public to bear with us. And we all know the situation in which we find ourselves. We are all Ghanaians. We should not allow our people to be charging arbitrarily. The right thing must be done so that we can have a smooth transport business in the country.
That was the General Secretary of the GPRTU, Stephen Okudzeto, ending that report by Anita Weskin and Joan Apakli.
Parliament is reconvening today after a six-week recess. The House was recalled for an emergency sitting on the 6th of this month at the instance of the Speaker of Parliament, Edward Duajahu. The recall was in line with the Deputy Minority Leader, Dominic Nitiwo's filing of a motion calling on the House to authorize an investigation into issues surrounding the sale of Merchant Bank to Fortis. 80 MPs from the minority appended their signature to the request for recall. The resumption commences the first meeting of the second session of the 6th Parliament.
The Director of Elections of NPP has asked aggrieved members to use party structures to address their grievances rather than going public. He said the party has activated appeal bodies at the regional and national levels, and any member who has concerns about the just-ended regional and upcoming national elections to take advantage of the appeals body. Speaking to Radio Ghana in Accra, Mr. Mensa Khosa said the party is in the process of solving all pending cases in court.
Well, there hasn't been any complaints officially, I must tell you. But I have, for example, noted one or two people who have sought to express some views on radio. I have invited them. They came to my office and we began some processes of finding out what difficulties that they have and how we can deal with them. And I tell you, it's been very, very fruitful. That's the kind of things that we are doing. All the various appeal bodies that we set up at the regional and national level. And so we encourage party members to come within and not do the practice of going public, because any other branch or organ of the party on radio or on any platform is within. But to the extent that you go voice out and do not get solution, then you haven't done yourself any good and the party any good. So come home. Let's engage back home and see how we can put these issues there.
I'm sure that there were some places that the elections were not held. What happens then due to some court injunctions or
Yes, in all, 8 constituencies could not form part of the electoral college that voted in this just ended regional election. Most of them, like you have said, were in court. We are working around the clock to get them solved out of court so they can complete their elections and join at least the first March national elections that are ahead of us. And so every effort will be done to achieve that particular feat.
That was NPP Director of Elections, Mensah Khosa.
The Minister of Transport, Alhaji Hamidu Suleimani, says he is concerned about the Eastern Corridor route like any other road project. He said though funding is a major problem, government is taking the necessary steps to ensure the completion of the project. He spoke to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
The truth is that portion is on POG, like talking about completion period. Just like he's mentioned, even the EU project, which weather and other things have not made it possible for the completion. I've often said that there are so many factors that determine the completion period of a project. And one of them, which knows exactly, is funding, which we said along the line there were challenges the funding of the project and the contractors slowed down. And that is exactly what he has noticed on the Nkwanta Otitenongo portion. The contractor has done a very good job on the drainage and the formation of the road. It's indicated that there is challenges for funding cash flow that has made him to withdraw. We're working around it and we hope that they will move back to continue the work.
We also gather the contract on the Eastern Corridor Road has expired. How true is it then? For how long?
That we have extension of time for obvious reasons. The contractors indicate that as a result of this and this process, they are unable to complete the job. So we do the extension of time. Most of those projects we've done that exactly. Even the EU funded project, he's given weather and other terms as factors that have made it possible for the contractors to complete. So similarly, as I said, there are a lot of factors outside the contractors control, outside the employers control, that normally delay the project. So along the line, we normally write letters for expenses to make the contract legal. So all those contracts have been made legal, but we have extended the contract legal.
Minister of Transport, Alhaji Hamidu Suleimani, talking to Agatha Samoa.
Meanwhile, the chairman of the Volta Regional Caucus in Parliament, Joseph Amenode, has expressed satisfaction with progress of work on the Eastern Corridor Road. He said though the caucus is still touring the project, it will liaise with the Regional Coordinating Council, the Ministry of Roads and Highways, and the contractors before making a definite pronouncement at the highest level. Mr. Amenode told Agatha Samoa that the road is of economic value to the people in the eastern part of the country.
We are grateful that the government has begun work on the Eastern Corridor route, but would also immediately commend that the rate at which the work is going is not very, very much to our satisfaction.
If you are focused on the Eastern Corridor, can you tell us which areas that you taught?
The Volta region section of the Eastern Corridor Road begins from Asikuma and ends at Damanko. So we taught the Asikuma-Damanko stretch. This stretch takes us through Owe, Jessica, Kegebi, Nkwanta, and ends at Damanko.
Well, you said that the rate at which things are progressing is not satisfactorily enough. You have been a political administrator of the region before. Do you have the feeling that things could have been done differently in an effort to expedite action on the road project?
Well, I don't think I can say things could have been done differently. I would always say I wished we had enough funds to have completed the project by this time. Actually, when the project began some 2.5 years ago, we had an estimated completion time. As for example, for the first section, as the Sikuma Harvest section, we had an estimated completion time of 2 years, which was ended this December. But the work is still not completed, and I think we interacted with the personnel, the road engineers, the resident engineer, the consultants, and the contractors. They gave their reasons and are asking for an extension, and we are not very happy that the 2013 completion date has not been met, but they are giving us assurance that all things being equal, they will meet the new completion time. That is the first section.
The other section we went on, that was the paper to Kwanta. That section is moving on quite all right. I would say we were very satisfied with the work. Their delay was mainly due to the climatic factors. That is, the rainfall pattern, as you all know, changed too much the past year. So they are on course and are asking also for an extension. They have assured us that hopefully, if the rains this year do not cause much havoc, by November, they will have finished this. Other section that is from Kwanta to Damanku, we have not met as a caucus to review all that they told us, but we hope to do that and then meet the Minister of Rules and Minister of Finance to get their point of view, because we got some things from those on the field. We'll have to collaborate with them before we actually come out with our real findings, which we hope to present to the President.
That was the chairman of the Volta Regional Caucus in Parliament, Joseph Amenewode, talking to Agatha Samoa. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: NPA downplays effect of fuel shortage in some parts of Accra on economy. Parliament resumes sittings today. NPP asks aggrieved members to use party structures to address grievances. Volta Caucus in Parliament expresses satisfaction with work on Eastern Corridor routes. Dumo family formally informs government of Komola's death, and Egypt's military backs army chief's bid for president. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. The family of late broadcaster Komola Dumo, led by the paramount chief of Aflao, Dogbe Amanyafiti, has officially informed government of his death. Komola died of cardiac arrest at his residence in London a week ago. An uncle of Komola Dumo, Ambassador James Victor Gbeho, said the family is yet to decide on when the remains of the broadcaster will be flown in, as well as funeral plans. President Mahama, who received the delegation, said the late Komola was one of the illustrious sons of Ghana and had a phenomenal career. He said government is ready to offer any assistance to the family with regards to planning of the funeral. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
Journalist of the year 2003 and BBC broadcaster Komola Aseke Dumo died a week ago at his London residence in what the family says is as a result of cardiac arrest. Having made his mark on the airwaves, Komola won the hearts of many, both young and old. His illustrious career as a broadcaster inspired many. Komola's exemplary life led to his installment as Toby Tenzi of Aflao Avueme, where he hails from. Toby Tenzi translates as my beloved son, which indicates how proud his family is of him. Toby Amenyafiti expresses the pain of his loss.
A sudden death of our beloved son, Komola Aseke Dumo. Komola Aseke Dumo passed on early hours of Saturday, 18th January 2014 in London. He was 41. Komola was my traditional first son, distinguishing himself as a royal from the Aflao-Pramosi of Agoflanu and Ablogume in the division of Agoflanu and Aflao, respectively. He was installed as Sohifia Youth Commander-in-Chief of Aflao Traditional Area. Komola Dumo's love for Africa, not only as his homeland, but his work, which he represented, reported, and defended to the core with his recognizable voice, stature, and sheer presence, will be forever remembered. Komola Aseke Dumo's death came to us as a shock. It has really robbed Aflao, Ghana, Africa, and the whole world of a voice of wisdom.
President Mahama said Komola's death is not only a loss to the family, but Africa and indeed the world. He said Komola was a personal friend who called on him anytime he was in town. From Switzerland, where the president participated in the World Economic Forum, he passed through Komola's residence in London to console his wife and family.
Following the adoption of the new constitution, several stations started popping up, and one of them was Joy FM. And so when this young man came at the morning show anchor, you know, he very quickly, as he's always done because of his talent, you know, gathered a very faithful listenership, and all of us would never miss the morning show because Komola Dumo was anchoring it. I mean, his depth of knowledge and, I mean, his ability to interview was unparalleled. I mean, if you were not in the studio and he was interviewing somebody, every question you wanted to ask yourself, if you were the interviewer, Komola will ask that question and even more. And when he announced to me that the BBC had made him an offer and he was thinking of taking it up, he spoke with me, and I knew that Africa was going to discover a gem that we had in Ghana. He was going to become the possession of not only Ghana, but
the whole of Africa and the world at large. And that is exactly what happened.
Government says it is ready to assist the family in whichever way to give the ace broadcaster a befitting burial.
Pascaline Adadavu.
The family of Komla Dumo, led by his father, Professor Ernest Dumo, has also called on the president of the Voterina House of Chiefs, Togbe Afede, to inform him formally about the passing of their son. Professor Dumo indicated that the family had taken a decision to bring the remains home for burial. He added that documentation associated with transporting the body to Ghana is far advanced. The family used the opportunity to once again thank Ghanaians for their support, love and prayers. Professor Dumo added that he has been particularly struck by how deeply young people have been expressing their sympathies. He said the family would ensure that in the arrangements for the funeral, the involvement of such young people is not overlooked. According to him, the family is undertaking consultations needed for the numerous people who feel a deep sense of loss at Komla's passing, participate meaningfully on his final journey. Receiving Professor Dumo, Togbe Afede described the news as heartbreaking and said he and the Voterina House of Chiefs will stand firmly behind the family in all that they would be doing in respect of the funeral. Present at the meeting was the Paramount Chief of Afulao, Togbe Aminafiti.
The Inspector General of Police, Mohammed Al-Hassan, says the emergence of cybercrime has direct implication on law enforcement, likewise businesses, organizations and individuals. He said the crime impacts negatively on the country and the sub-region as a whole. Mr. Al-Hassan was speaking in Accra at the opening of an information and communication technology training for police personnel selected from the 10 regions in the country. A report by Joyce Jechi and Priscilla Apia.
Information Communication Technology, ICT, has become a double-edged sword, providing opportunities for individuals and organizations, and also bringing with it information security risks and challenges. It is to counter these challenges that the Valley View University, in conjunction with the Ghana Investment Fund for Electronic Communication, GIFI, is organizing a month-long training for 30 personnel from the Ghana Police Service from all over the country. Speaking at the ceremony, the IGP, Muhammad Al-Hassan, said the training is in line with its five-year strategic plan to attain a level of computerization that would streamline all areas of its Mr. Al-Hassan said cybercrime, popularly known as Sakawa, causes financial losses to many individuals and organizations.
Joel Jachi and Priscilla Pia filed that report.
Officials of the Kolobu Blood Bank have refused to talk to the media about the state of the center 3 weeks after reported shortage of blood at the facility. Head at the center, Dr. Paul Mensah, told our reporters Irabna Paha and Fred Yubu that until institutions such as the media take the first step towards donating blood, the center will not give out any information. He also lamented the insensitive attitude of Ghanaians towards the blood center.
No,
the condition was that we are hosted into the area, so
but there are solutions to the problem of contraction, but so that is the solution that the ordinary government to make, that the only way we transform that. I don't manufacture glass. I don't. The black cells are not manufactured, but the black cells depend on the ordinary you and me. So if you won't give to that wall to be made, let's not talk about it. Let us run short. Let us run dry. Then pray that you or your family member does not need that. No, we are here too. And even if you are a family of a faith, I don't know how to do that. I'm sorry to you.
That was head of the Kolobu Blood Bank, Dr. Paul Mensah.
Reports of the outbreak of swine fever in the western region have affected patronage of pork in some parts of the country. Radio Ghana's visit to the Salaga and Osu markets in Accra reviewed poor sales of the product. There were, however, mixed reactions from the public, as many people are not aware of the swine fever outbreak. Samuel Bano and Sylvia Jakwasu have more. The swine fever was detected in the Elembele district of the Western Region last week. To prevent the spread of the disease, the Veterinary Service Directorate of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture warned residents around the catchment area to avoid consuming pork till further notice. Already, 1,192 affected pigs have been destroyed to prevent the spread of the disease. But how has this affected those who patronize the delicacy? At the Salaga market in Accra, a trader, Na Afi, told Radio Ghana that the news has seriously affected her business, adding that she is recording losses.
Since they started talking about the disease, people have stopped buying. Interested foreigners here have also stopped coming, if not for the spread of the disease. All the items you see here would have been bought. Sales is extremely poor.
At the pork abattoir in Osu, traders who spoke to Radio Ghana indicated that people are not buying.
Samuel Banner and Silva Japas's report.
In foreign news, Egypt's top military body has given its approval for Armed Forces Chief Field Marshal Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to run for the presidency. The Supreme Council of the Armed Forces said the people's trust in Marshal Sisi is a call that must be heeded as the free choice of the people. Security sources say he will resign and announce his candidacy within days. Field Marshal Sisi led the ousting of President Mohamed.
And now to another story. The head of the Worldwide Anglican Church, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, says he will visit Africa's island Spring Great Lakes region later this week. A statement from his official residence said he will on Thursday start a 5-day visit to South Sudan, Congo, Burundi and Rwanda, where he will meet primates of the Anglican Church. The statement said the trip will express solidarity, build personal and professional bonds, understand the primates work in their local context and lay foundations for good collaboration over the coming years. UN Human Rights Director Navi Pillay says the security situation in the Central African Republic has worsened despite the inauguration of a new leader. Ms. Pillay said this when she led Muslim and Christian leaders from the Central African Republic during a meeting with British Prime Minister David Cameron to lobby for more international assistance. Now to the news and main points again. The National Petroleum Authority has downplayed speculative effect of shortage of fuel in some parts of Accra on the national economy. The public relations officer of the NPA, Yaro Kasambata, told Radio Ghana that the shortage is minimal and will be resolved in the shortest possible time. Parliament is reconvening today after a six-week recess. The resumption commences the first meeting of the second session of the sixth parliament. And the director of elections of the NPP has asked aggrieved members of the parties to use party structures to address their grievances rather than going public. Speaking to Radio Ghana in Accra, Mr. Mensah Khosa said the party is in the process of solving all pending cases in court. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Rose Mugazi in Accra.
Thank you.